Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Reverend Dr. Doris Doors. I'm the pastor of In His Present Ministry, World Evangelism, and also Spirit-Filled Women of God, Sisters in Christ Ministry. I welcome you tonight to our broadcast. I pray that your heart will be blessed by the word of God on tonight, as we have our speaker to come on tonight. But before we do that, we're going to have a, I'm going to read a scripture, and then I'm going to say a prayer and play a song. The word of God says in Psalm 37, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we pray for the word on tonight. We ask you to bless the woman servant as she come forth to bring the minister of the word to thy people. Lord God, we thank you and we glorify your holy name. It is in Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen.
But I strayed away,
Hallelujah. It was by God's grace. Let us go with a little bit more of that, all right?
All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes. It was by God's grace.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's because of God's grace that we are still here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy.
Yes.
At this time, I'm going to introduce our speaker for tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Our speaker for tonight is none other than Pastor Prophet Shirley Lucas McCain. Pastor Kane is the pastor of Win the Walk of Jesus Christ Ministry. Pastor Kane resides in Houston, Texas. She has 3 sons, 6 grandchildren. Pastor Kane is also the author of the book Beauty Grown from a Concrete Life. Pastor Kane retired from Office of Inspection General after 27 years. Pastor Kane's vision is to fulfill the gospel and reach souls for the kingdom of God. Pastor Kane is a mighty servant of the Lord, teaching and preaching the adulterated word in the anointing. Pastor Kane has a testimony of how God has healed and delivered her to continue in the work that he has called her to do. And tonight I welcome our speaker, Pastor Prophet Shirley Lucas Kane. God bless you and allow the Spirit of the Lord to use you. Amen. You're on, Pastor.
Praise God. You know, when I listen, good evening to everybody. That song just got me just reminiscing. But I know I can't just stay in the reminiscing. I got to move forward. But it was God's grace. And I didn't know what God's grace was until I was diagnosed with cancer, okay? And then I understood his grace because he healed me. And he yet let me live to tell my story, to inspire, to impact people's lives, because I tell you, many say God ain't real, but I'm here to tell you God is real and Jesus is the living will in our lives. I just had to bring that introductory in because that song, it just keep, every time I hear it, it just keep telling me how great God's grace is. I just thank God for each and every one of you, and may God just bless each and every one of you. I've already been introduced. I'm Pastor Shirley Kane, and Reverend Darcy, I thank God for you, because this is what God requires of us, to share the word of God, to impact people's lives, and to set the captives free. And may God bless the work of you and the man of God and the fruit of your lips, and may your work reap great harvest, expanding the kingdom of God. And I just want to encourage those that's listening, those of you who have fear of life issues, that's being burdened down because of life issues from this pandemic, I want you to know God has promised to hear us when we just pray. And he says in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call to me and I will answer you and show you the great and mighty things which you do not know. We just got to keep pressing, my brothers and sisters. We got to keep believing, and we got to give God all and everything in us, because that's the only way that we're going to get through anything that comes to hunt us in our life. But I praise God, and I thank God. And I just like to have a little word of prayer before I get into this word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, to set this atmosphere. We welcome your Holy Spirit in this message. Father, I ask that you let the words that come out of my mouth glorify you, God. and impact others' lives, that their ears will hear. Lord, that their minds will shift. I ask you to decrease me and increase you. Let your word penetrate our spirit and those that don't know you, that they may seek you for eternal life and they will be made whole. I counsel the assignment of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, that he will not manifest in this word, that your word will go forth and bless our souls in the areas that we are weak, that we be delivered endlessly, instantly, in the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Well, precious saints, I am going to go to the scripture reading, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 8th through the 9th verse. And the words say, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9 say, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same suffering. And what I want to talk about tonight, because we are being attacked mightily, and what I want to talk about is God is bigger than your adversaries. God is bigger than your adversaries. And I find that to relate to what we're going through, because it's trying times right now. And we got to realize even more than ever that we need Jesus. We don't need to be playing church. We don't need to be playing holy. We need to be for real. We need to be authentic. We need to realize who Jesus is and what Jesus is and what he is to others that don't know him. We got to spread the word, y'all. We don't spread the word because we don't want people to reject us or to turn us down or say, oh, I don't want to hear that. But you know what? It don't matter if they receive it or not, because one thing I can tell you, you done sowed that seed. But have you ever in your lifetime been at a point where you try to do something and they just don't work out? You fix one thing, then something else needs fixing. And every day you try to have a positive outlook on life. But here comes the devil. He tries to cheat you out of your day. He tries to make you think that the positivity and you glorifying God is not working and it's not going to work. Just think, when you got it, and when you think you just got it all figured out, you right back to the beginning. And you know that there is hope, but look like hope don't want to come your way. You look for answers, and while you waiting for that answer, you are hit with another wilderness experience. You feel all beat down. Your faith starts wavering, and you wonder if God cares. And sometimes you may ask God, do he see what is happening to you? And how long before he will come to the rescue and rescue you out of the pressure that you are under? I'm just being real here, because sometimes we do get weakened. Sometimes pressure can come on us so hard that sometimes we lose our composure of who we are, and we have to get right back on track because we can't tarry. We can't stay there too long because the devil is ready to capture us. And then, you know, we try to live according to God's word. And then sometimes we look at the evil people and look like they're getting away with everything, that they are doing whatever they feel. And then to top it off, they seem like they're very prosperous. I know some of you can attest to what I'm saying here. But I got an answer for you. All we have to do is continue to trust God because he will deliver your due process. I want to use, for example, the story about King Jehoshaphat. He tried to do the right thing unto the Lord. He was having issues with armies that wanted to come against him. And what stood out with me concerning this story, although an army was coming against him, Jehoshaphat had hope. Jehoshaphat knew that God was bigger than his adversaries. And sometimes we try to do the right thing. And there are people who will still hate on you and will try to destroy what you believe in. People will change on you, especially when you can't, when they can't know your business or you start rising above them, doing better than them. And, you know, some people may listen to this and say, this is a conversation of gossip. No, this is not gossip. This is to identify what is real. And sometimes we got to address issues, especially when the devil is trying to impose interrupt our lives. We must identify when the enemy is trying to rob us of our possession, our joy, our health, our peace, our family, our marriages, our children, our mind, and most of all, our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And right this moment, we need to decree that the enemy has no power to do anything. And we got to remember the enemy can only do what we allow. Use your power and authority and put him under your feet. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, the enemy has got to go. It's something about that name, Jesus. Don't ever allow yourself to think that people are perfect with no flaws, People will look at you going through what you're going through, and then to top it off, they'll say, well, I ain't having no problem. That's a delusion. That's a lie, because Satan still exists. Satan still tries to wreck people's lives. He don't care who it is. He don't care how much money you got. He don't care how holy you are. He don't care. And you know, when people do that, they make you feel like you're the only one experiencing storms in your life. But verse 9 tells us that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Understand this. God is not saying if you're rich, are you famous, are you righteous, that you are exempt from suffering. Jesus let us know before he departed from this earth that you will have trials and tribulations. But he said, rest in him and he will give you the peace. Because so many think that when they have money, they can buy that can buy them all things, but it only can buy you possessions. It cannot buy you peace. It cannot buy you the anointing. It's an illusion. And you know, like right now, we're in a pandemic, and we are limited to what freedom we have. We're finding out money and status doesn't do us any good. Only God can make it go away. Didn't he speak to the wind and it obeyed? Instead of worrying about the pandemic, we should spend our thoughts on praying for our nation, praying for healing, breaking yokes of confusion, division, and hatred. That is what pleases God. We need to be obedient, and we need to do that which is required from God. But, you know, we're going to see how God is bigger than our adversary. God can change. He can come into any situation, and he can change the whole scene in a way where we will not only be victorious, but also receive unexpected blessings and breakthrough in our life, even in this pandemic. I know we think it's impossible, but baby, I'm here to tell you, all things is possible with God. God has not changed. We have gotten our focus, though, but God has not changed. So when we look at Jehoshaphat, he did become worried and shaken at the beginning when he heard the news of the armies coming against him. But he instantly realized that he had a God that could do anything but fail him. He knew that it was not a hopeless situation. He knew that he needed God to prepare a table before him in the presence of his enemies. He knew that only God could win this battle. How many of you know that if you give it to God, it is an assurance that he will vindicate you. He will vindicate you from anything, danger, toss, snares. He will vindicate you from the diseases and sickness. He will vindicate you. He will make everything line up according to his word. Remember, Jesus had to bear the cross alone, but he didn't do it so we have to bear it. And we're going to have the trials and tribulation, like I said before. But Jesus says he has overcome the world. God has promised to sustain us. Psalm 55 and 22, it tells you, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will meet your every need, even in this pandemic, whatever it may be. And sometimes we can go to God and we can make our request known to him, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. That is faith. And I can assure you that God does more than enough. Psalms 34:7-4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And verse 5 says, commit yourself to the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. You don't need to figure out how God is going to do things. We just got to trust him. We got to let him do what he knows needs to be done. And I want you to understand, it does not matter what the media say. It does not matter what's being said on the TV. It does not matter the conversation that you hear from others about how bad this pandemic is. And yes, it is bad. But a lot of us, God is saving us from the pandemic. A lot of us are safe. A lot of us are healthy. A lot of us, we have not contracted the virus. And I'm not praising for those that have, because I pray for them daily that God will heal them. But we got to understand one thing. We got to count our blessings and not complain, because it could be worse. And I know a lot of times when I get in a complaining mode, God just puts somebody in front of me that's worse off than me, that's going through a whole lot more than me, and then I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did not mean that. I repent. I take it all back. But I just want you to know, trust God, believe in God, know that he will do it. All you have to do is cry out to him. When you look in the book of Psalms, most of the stuff that David was saying, he was crying out to the Lord. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Even though he had did all what he did, God still favored him because he knew how to repent. And that's what we got to do. We got to repent and get it right. We can't walk around here and say, Lord, Lord, give me this, and live any kind of rugged life. We just can't do it. God still blesses us even though we are, like Isaiah said, we are filthy, dirty rags. But God still blesses us each and every day. I think that's all I got for right now. But I just want you to know that God is bigger than your adversary. Amen. Closing in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your prophetic anointing over our lives. And if anyone who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that they will ask you into their life, into their soul, their heart, and their mind, that they will ask for forgiveness and be cleansed with your precious blood of righteousness, that they be purged and be made whole. Father, I ask that you take control of our lives and let us live solely for you every day. Take away our worries, God, about the future, that we will know that it is all in you. We give it all to you, Lord, that which is pressing us down in our spirit, that which make our heart aches, and the pain that's afflicted upon us by corrupted and evil men. Although our universe is in a crisis with hatred and biased relations and ungodliness and victory, we stand on the protection of you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you are the ruler and protector of our lives and on this universe. Lord, we need to repent so our land may be healed. Lord, we asking that the pandemic dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to remember the hospital staff and all who work tirelessly to save lives from this pandemic. Lord, and we need to stop taking matters into our own hands and let you be God. And right now, our nation is so divided. We are dealing with this pandemic, racial hatred, and that's all out of control. Help us, Lord, through this present time that we are in. Lord, we need you more than ever. Our nation is in a state of emergency crisis, but you, God, shall bring peace. You shall bring calm. Like you spoke to the wind on the ship. We know, God, that you are able to bring any chaos to a calm. Lord, we have to do our part, and we have to return back to you, God. We are willing to follow your way, God. And, Lord, we ask, God, that you will bless us. We are crying out to you in desperation, and we are asking you to bless us in our finances and those that finances has been affected because of this pandemic, those that's going hungry, those that don't have jobs, those that's losing their homes and being evicted. Lord, I know that you realize all of this is taking place, and I believe, God, that you will hold to your promises to us, and you will give us that when it's needed. Lord, and I even ask you to give us wisdom to get wealth and guide us into our destiny. Lord, help us to realize that the future is what you hold for us. But if we abide in you, that future can become what we speak to it to become. Lord, help us to realize that we need you. We can't do without you, and that's why we're going to honor you. We're going to glorify you. We're going to praise you, God, forevermore. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, Shinokoshiana, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. I turn it back over to you. Reverend Dorsey, if anybody needs prayer or whatever else is needed, I'm available.
Amen. Let me see. Amen. I'm opening up the lines. I'm opening up the lines. Is there anybody that needs prayer? Pastor Kane will pray for you.
Also, Reverend Dorsey, I'm going to pray for a young lady from Bible Way right now that's waiting for a result that she's been diagnosed with breast cancer, but I think she must have moved through the process of having a biopsy, and she's just asking people to keep her lifted up, and hopefully by God's will that it'll turn out to be negative. Her name is oh, gosh, it's getting ready to escape my mind. My last name, Gwen Taylor. Gwen Taylor.
Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Well, we know that God can heal us.
Uh-huh.
But you know what I found out when I went through my cancer? I found out if you believe that God can heal you, you must speak it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You must speak on your healing.
Yes.
God will heal you anyway, but sometimes God want to hear us ask to be healed.
Yes.
And so we're going to pray for this young lady that God
mm-hmm.
is going to go into wherever that cancer is and
yes.
that he's going to shrink them tumors miraculously.
Yes, yes, yes. yes.
And we're going to
yes.
pray that she have the frame of mind that she will live and not die, because
yes.
all sickness is not to death.
So true.
So we're going to pray that she will look up to the hills and let God do what he do, and that she will be bold enough to say,
mm-hmm.
cancer cannot stay in my body.
Yes.
And
yes.
I am healed.
Yes.
Lord, and I pray
mm-hmm.
for her mind, Lord, because I know that when people have cancer, even myself, all kind of things run through your mind, and a lot
for
of times
sure.
it's not all about Jesus and what God can do. It's all about what's going to happen to me. Am I going to
yes.
live? Am I going to beat this? We pray for her mind that God will put in her mind
mm-hmm.
to be bold
mm-hmm.
enough to know that she's already healed, and that he will
mm-hmm.
minister to her mind and to her
mm-hmm.
heart, and that she will overcome this, because the battle
mm-hmm.
is not hers, it's God.
Yes, yes.
And cancer
yes,
don't
yes.
belong to God, it belongs to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So we rebuke him and all the infirmities that he tried to put up on her.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I speak
thank
over
you.
Her life right now that she's already healed.
Bless
and that
Lord.
She will have a testimony
mm-hmm.
in
yes.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Prophetess Kane, will you
yes.
Pray for the church, please?
For the church? Okay.
For the church,
Lord,
yes, ma'am.
Lord, I know that many churches is not open because of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Father, and I pray that every church that's standing, that you will revise the situation and that you
mm-hmm.
will allow the churches to open up to carry out your work, because we already know that the enemy wants to shut it down. But God,
mm-hmm.
you said, I call the church forth. I call the leader forth. And I pray,
mm-hmm.
dear God, that you will give the leaders understanding that it is
yes.
not over till God say it's over, and that
yes.
they will be strengthened and encouraged. Oh, God, I
yes.
ask you to move right now, God, and make
mm-hmm.
this thing come to fruition, because the
yes.
church is needed. People need the church. People
mm-hmm.
need to have somewhere to come and worship. And the devil cannot have orchestration over this thing. And I pray, dear God, that you will increase the church. I pray, dear God, that resources will be given to the church, because your kingdom has to be built. And resources is needed to do it. Lord, and I pray, God, when the church open, God, that so many will come and flood the church out, asking what I must do to be saved.
So true.
Lord, I thank you right now that you are going to bring the increase in the church.
Yes.
And I thank you that you're going to bring the increase to the leaders, that they will have the revelation and they will understand how to operate in your house, God.
Yes.
And, and that they will not miss a beat, but they will be able to be upgraded because of their faithfulness and their goodness.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
we trust you, God. In a church that's standing, Lord, we trust you, God, that the churches will be lifted up.
Yes.
I thank you right now
that it
is so and it is done. And the devil got to get back, because there ain't no room for him, because he cannot destroy what God has built.
Very true.
And
very
I thank
true.
You, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we wait on your manifestation, because it is going to come to pass.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wanted? If not, Prophetess Kane, I would like for you, I looked a lot on your videos and stuff on Facebook when you were in the hospital. And if you can you give us, can you tell them a little bit about when you were in the hospital, when you had cancer? I think it blessed me, and I just want you to share that with those that are on the line tonight, if you don't mind.
Bless the
Lord.
Okay.
I was just going to get a mammogram, is how it all started, and when they did the mammogram, they say, well, we seeing something, and so then they wanted to do a biopsy, and that panned out pretty good, but then they said, it's something about your lymph nodes. And so they referred me to a cancer doctor. I can't call what you call him. Anyway, and he ran some more tests and did a CAT scan and whatever else they did. And he came back and he says, you have cancer. And I say, is it breast cancer? And he says, no, it's leukemia. And I sit there and I looked at him and I say, you sure you got the right test? And anyway, he had the right test. And so instantly I started feeling depressed. And I say, why me, Lord? Haven't I been through enough? And now I got to deal with cancer. I had a stroke back in 2004. I had cancer back in, I think it was back in 19-something, but anyway. And so I came home and I called my kids and says, they say, I have cancer, y'all. I say, so I got to start getting things in order. And my baby son say, well, Mama, where you going? I say, well, baby, you know how cancer do you? He say, well, what stage it is? I say, I didn't even ask. I say, it don't matter. But anyway, they started me off with the pills, and it didn't help. I got where I couldn't talk, I couldn't swallow, because it was all up under my chin, the lymph nodes, and under my arm. And I just started kind of going downhill. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Hold on a minute. Hey, sit my own coming on.
gone, Pastor?
Hold on a minute, y'all. Okay, there you go. But so they ended up sending me to MD Anderson. They said there wasn't anything else they can do with the oncology. That's what it was. And so when he told me I had to go to MD Anderson, I'm like, my cancer that bad? And he said, yes, ma'am, it's pretty bad. So when I got to MD Anderson, I sat there and I said, Lord, what am I doing here? And, you know, I was looking at the different people in there and what have you. And so they did the chemo and they, you know, kept doing it until I went in remission. And I went in remission. And so they say, well, you probably need to go ahead and do a bone marrow transplant. And I say, wow. And so I say, well, okay, it don't matter, whatever. You know, and so I went to be tested in all of this in preparation for the bone marrow transplant. And so I went in the hospital, and they told me they had found a donor. And then that's when I went and did the workup. And then the transplant was done on November the 24th. And the transplant didn't take. I was so devastated. I said, well, Lord, you promised me you was going to heal me. And so I kind of, you know, stopped eating and all of this here. I think I kind of went in a little depression. And so I was laying there asleep one night when I finally did get to sleep. And the Lord woke me up and he said, let me tell you something. I'm the author and the finisher of your life. He say, you rise up, because I didn't allow it because I saw a problem with it. And I say, whoa. So the doctors, they were saying, well, maybe we need to get your son, because the person that they was going to give me the transplant wasn't none of my family members. It was somebody overseas that I didn't know. But anyway, after that didn't go through, they said, well, maybe we can use your children. He says, your children, they got your blood and your daddy's blood, so, you know, it ain't going to be 100% effective. It might be like a 40-100 effective. And so they had tested all three of my sons, and they didn't want to use my youngest son because he was young. They wanted to use my older son because of his age was preferably close to my age. I guess that's what they were trying to say. So when my son came, they tested him, and they said, yeah, he'll be a match. When my son came to do it, they went on and they say something. I told them, I say, look, I say, was any of that transplant left? And they said, yeah. I say, well, let's do it again. And so anyway, they wanted to continue to use my son just in case it didn't happen. So anyway, the day that they did the transplant, they had my son to come in and give whatever he needed to give. So after the second transplant, it might have been about a week, and the doctor came in my room. Oh, let me go. I was in the hospital for 60 days. I could not leave out of the hospital. I was there for 60 days without knowing what the outside was like. So when my son came to give all the stuff and the doctor came in there and he was looking at the chart and he kept looking at me and he kept looking at the chart and he said, who are you? I say, what do you mean who I am? He said, the transfusion took. He said, and your white blood cells is higher than we expect when a person just beat and got the transplant. I say, honey, that ain't nothing but God did that. I said, whoever you had got that bone marrow from, I said, God gave me his bone marrow. I said, because that's the kind of God I serve. And from there, I had to stay in the hospital 60 days. And, honey, let me tell you something. There was good and bad days. I coded twice before I had the second transplant. I coded twice because when they do a transplant, they take everything in you out. The immunization, your blood, and everything else. You don't have nothing left of you. And that's what the transplant is putting somebody else in you. And I had got so weak because, you know, I didn't have nothing to really keep me working. So I coded a couple of times, and the Lord brought me back. And I just kept praying. I got on Facebook, and I and my son kept saying, Mama, why you got to let Facebook know all your business? I say, baby, I'm not letting Facebook know my business. I'm just letting them know how my God works. And Jesus is real.
Amen.
And so when I got out the hospital after the 60 days, I still had 3 months I was subject to any kind of germs. So it was kind of like I was in a bubble, okay, for 3 months. I lived with my son because he lived by himself. I couldn't live with none of my other children because it was family members and it would have risked me getting germs and bacteria. And so I went through those 3 months, and while I was in the hospital those 60 days, that's where I wrote my book at. And the doctor that I had, every time he would come in there, he said, you're an amazing woman. I said, well, you know, I have to get a glory to my God. I have to get a glory to Jesus. I say, if you don't know him, you need to get to know him, baby. I say, because he's an awesome man. And he would just kind of look at me, and then he said, you know what? You're making me start to wonder about the Jesus that you serve. But the whole while I was in the MD Anderson going through my treatment, I was ministering to people, praying for people. And people say, well, are you a patient? And I say, yeah, I'm a patient. And they say, what? And when I would go into the have my blood work done, the people had gave me a name. They say, oh, Lord, here comes sunshine. Girl, light it up in here. I never gave myself an opportunity to feel like I've been defeated. I had to stand on the word of God. And every day I had my scriptures that I would, you know, I would do my healing scriptures every day. And God is so good. And I tell you, a lot of people say when you have those transplants that you don't really go back to what you was before. But that's a lie, baby. Because let me tell you something. I do whatever I want to do. I can clean up. I can cook for myself. I be posting on Facebook the dinners and stuff I be cooking. Because, see, while I'm here, I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have joy. I'm not saying I don't never have no things that come against me or that I have sad days, because I do, because I've got grandchildren. I got children. I kind of, you know, worries about them. But every day I'm just grateful. The moment I open my eyes, I say, Lord, thank you for my breath of life and your mercy and your grace. I can't never thank God enough. I don't care if I had 1,000 tongues, like the verse say. I can't thank him enough, because he brought me through. He bought me out of that.
Yes, Lord.
And he will never, ever, ever forsake you. You just got to have your mind positioned. Because if you don't have your mind positioned, you will go down. You got to be bold enough to speak to that sickness and tell it it's got to go. It don't belong in your body. Because when you were created, because God said he knew you when you was formed in your mother's womb. And you was born for destiny. And you was born for greatness. And you got to live it out. You got to live it out. You can't go by what somebody else say. You got to live it out and find out for yourself. Because everybody's not wired up the same way, and God didn't create us all alike. Praise God.
Amen.
So if y'all get a chance, get the book. The book is from my childhood up until the cancer and the transplant. And that's why it's called Beauty Grown from a Concrete Life, because I went through so much growing up and even in my adult life. But God helped me. I struggled. Yes, I did. And I wasn't no pretty, squeaky, clean person either. But God bought me out. And if you get that book and you read that book, you're going to be saying, wow. And she's still standing? Hey, what that guy, what's his name, Luther? God's grace. God's
Luther
grace.
Woo!
Luther. Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
My. But anyway, I'm not going to take up all of y'all time. Because I just can't tell it all.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Prophet is Cain. I truly thank God for you coming on tonight and bringing the word and just telling us about your testimonies. I watched you on Facebook, and all the time you stayed in the hospital. You know, I had breast cancer, too. Got 15 years now this month, and I thank God.
Yeah.
So I know that listening to you and how you were going through things, and it was so beautiful. People were praying for you and just being encouragement. That's, you know, a lot of times people say Facebook is this and that, but I always tell my husband that when everybody have birthday, people say happy birthday. People pray for you if you need prayer.
Yeah.
And I look for pray for and how they were encouraged by you, and even I was encouraged. And that's why I wanted you to share that with it, because you stayed and you struggled such a long time in the hospital, but God was still there, and you still praised God the whole time you were going through.
Yes.
And that's what we need to hear. You know, I was sitting here listening. My eyes got full of tears because, you know, sometimes we do get depressed or discouraged and things like that, but when you listen to somebody else talk about what God has done for them, you know that God has done things for you too. But sometimes we forget about those things that God has done for us. And we just need to be reminded. And as I watched you, I was just so encouraged how you were talking about things, knowing that what you were going through. And I just thank you so much for allowing the Lord to use you tonight to bring the word to encourage us and to tell of your testimony. And I also thank Evangelist Meekins for asking you to pray for the young lady that's going through, that's going to have the biopsy. I thank you for praying for her too. And I just pray that you'll strengthen the Lord, that the Lord will continue to bless you. And I pray that you'll come back again on my broadcast. And those that are listening, if you want to get her book, is it at Amazon?
It's at Amazon, it's at Barnes & Nobles, and I think Walmart carrying it, too.
Okay, and the name of it is Beauty Grown from a Concrete Life.
Beauty Grown from a Concrete Life, Shirley Lucas Cain.
Amen, Kane. We're not going to prolong it any longer, Prophetess Cain and everyone else on the line. Thank you so much for coming. All those that are on the line tonight, we appreciate you being here tonight, and we pray you were blessed by all that Prophetess Cain has said unto tonight, and we pray your strength in the Lord. Prophet Cain, I ask that you will just pray us out and dismiss us, and God bless you. And I'll be getting in touch with you about your book, all right?
Okay, all right. Lord, we thank you for this time, this moment, that you able us to lift up one another, that you allow us to intercede for one another in our mind, in our heart, in word, and speech. And we ask blessings on each person that hear this today, that listen in tonight. We thank you for the testimonies, the answered prayer. We rejoice, and we just rejoice and we ask that you strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us, because you are the strength of our life. And I ask you to help us, God, to uplift us, renew our spirit, give us a light of hope and your continued mercy. And, Lord, I pray, God, that we are blessed going in and going out. And we thank you, God, that you allow us to follow the path that you have ordered, that we will take each step that's directed by you to our greatest destiny. And, Lord, we thank you for the fertile seasons for the coming month. People looking at this pandemic, and they keep saying it's a lost cause. But God says, he don't go away. He is still God. And I ask you, God, to give us a double portion of your anointing to reach those souls out there, because the harvest is so, so heavy. And people is going to need to know about you, oh God. And I thank you, God, that you will bless every home of every person on this line. Bless them as they go out, God, that they will not be, that they will not contact the virus, and that they will be safe and secured in your arms. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. God bless everyone, and I say good night. And Prophetess Cain, again, I'll get in touch with you. And thank you so much again for coming. God bless everyone. May heaven smile upon you.
Thank you,
and have a blessed.
Be blessed.
Yes, ma'am. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.